Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we welcome you to the auspicious celebration of the appearance of Lord Sri Ramachandra. According to Vedic literature, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramatma, the Lord within the heart, is his partial expansion. And Brahman, or the impersonal spiritual light, Brahma Jyoti, is the effulgence of his transcendental form. So Krishna is the ultimate realization of the divinity. And he expands himself just like a candle. From one candle you light a second, from the second you can light a third, from the third you can light a fourth. They're all fire. They all have the same candle power, but still there is one original candle. So the original personality of Godhead is Krishna, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, and he expands himself into other forms, and one of the principal forms is Lord Ramachandra. But all of Krishna's expansions are included within Krishna. And so by worshipping Krishna, you are automatically worshipping Rama and, by worshipping Radha and Krishna, you are worshipping Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, and so on. But still, because today we are especially observing the appearance day of Lord Rama, so we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam about him. The second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, seventh chapter, is called Scheduled Incarnations. And within that chapter is a brief description of Lord Ramachandra. And I will read one of the verses, which is especially relevant to us who are sitting here today. This is text 23. Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha ikshvakuvamsa avatirya guror nideshe tishtanvanam sadaitanuja avivesha yasmin virudya dashakandara artim archat. Translation. due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharat, Lakshman, and Shatrughna, are his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva and are never ordinary human beings. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramachandra is the incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshman is the incarnation of Shankarshan. Bharat is the incarnation of Pradumya. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha. Expansions of the Personality of Godhead. And Lakshmiji Sita is the internal potency of the Lord. She is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord, and she is associated with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramachandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmiji Sita Devi. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasarath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances. And the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanji, desired to go with him, and so also his eternal wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and all together they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramachandra and Ravana. And the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with all his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being, along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Rama, and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity take lessons from the Ramayana. Who in this room is after opulence and material prosperity? I hardly need to ask. So let me finish the sentence. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom, Lanka, into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramachandra and defied him by stealing his wife, Sita, Ravana was killed. And all his opulence and power were destroyed. Lord Ramachandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha, or master of all opulences. Hare Krishna. So, the instructions from the history of Lord Ramachandra and his associates, and Ravana and his accomplices, are very important for us. We all have come into the material world out of envy of Krishna. Krishna bhulya jeev bhoga vanchakari. That when we forget Krishna and come into the material world to enjoy without Krishna, we come under the control of Maya and we are forced to suffer many miseries. Just see the irony. We come into the material world to enjoy, independent of Krishna, and the result is that we are punished and suffer many miseries. The material world is meant for our reformation so that we can become purified of our envious mentality and desire to enjoy Krishna's property as if we were the enjoyers, as if we were the proprietors, as if we were the controllers. And the material miseries are actually meant to help us realize that we cannot be happy in the material world, but that we can only be happy in service to Krishna in the spiritual world. And it was with this desire, I mean, this was the purpose for which Lord Ramachandra descended into the world, to enlighten people with spiritual knowledge. And it was with this purpose that Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 69, set sail by cargo ship from India to America and brought the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in doing so, Srila Prabhupada compared himself and his devotees to Lord Ramachandra and his devotees. He compared the people in the West to Ravanas who had kidnapped Sita Devi, Lakshmi, and even many of our friends here from the sacred soil of Bharat, India, have come here to partake of that material opulence and comfort. In fact, Srila Prabhupada quoted a saying, and I'm not saying it's applicable to anyone here, but he quoted a saying that anyone who goes to Lanka becomes a Ravana. But actually, many of our friends from India who have come to America have become more like Hanuman after coming here. So that's Prabhupada's mercy. That's Prabhupada's mercy. So Srila Prabhupada said, in broad terms, the people in the West are like Ravana, and they have captured Sita Devi, Lakshmi, material wealth and opulence. And so our duty or our mission is to get Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana and return her to her rightful position in the service of Lord Ram. And so just as Rama crossed the ocean, the Indian Ocean, to go to Lanka to fight with Ravana and get back Sita, so Srila Prabhupada also cross the ocean. And just as Lord Rama was assisted by so many monkeys, Srila Prabhupada was assisted by us. So this is our mission in service to Lord Rama and Srila Prabhupada. And it was successful. I mean, to a large extent, it was successful. Srila Prabhupada gave the logic of the blind man and the lame man. A blind man may be very strong physically, but he can't see. So he can't go anywhere. And a lame man or a crippled person, he may have very good vision. He may know exactly what is what. But because he's lame or crippled, he also can't go anywhere. But if the blind man takes the lame man on his shoulders, then the lame man, he can direct, this is the way to go, and the blind man can carry him, and together they can make progress. So Srila Prabhupada said that India was like the lame man because of so many centuries of foreign subjugation and exploitation. It was like, you know, sort of materially crippled. And America was like the blind man. It was very powerful materially, but had no spiritual vision, didn't know where to go. And so Srila Prabhupada said, but if the two combine together, Indian culture and American resources, then together they can make progress and the whole world can benefit. And actually that has happened. That combination is what, I mean, it's all Srila Prabhupada's mercy, but his genius was to combine those two and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It was mentioned here that Ravana had a city made of gold. He turned his kingdom Lanka into pure gold or full material opulence. And this reminds me of a story that Srila Prabhupada told. He mentioned Durga Devi, the external energy who's associated with Lord Shiva. This is also very interesting because Lord Shiva is the most powerful demigod, and Durga also is extremely powerful. She creates the whole material world and supervises it. But personally, they have no house. They live under a tree. So many of their friends started to tell them, you know, you shouldn't be living under a tree. You should have a house. You're married, you should have a house. So finally, so many people were saying the same thing, so finally they agreed, okay. But they were not an ordinary couple. So they made a house made of gold. A house was made of gold. And for the, you could say, housewarming ceremony, a great rishi, I think Augusta Muni, but a great rishi with many of his disciples came to the house. And so Durga Parvati, she prepared a feast and fed Augusta Muni and his thousands of disciples, and they were very satisfied. And then at the end, Augusta Muni said, well, now you have fed us, what about our dakshina? Dakshina is like a donation or a gift that one gives. Dakshina is related. Yeah, dakshina, it means favorable. The idea is by dakshina, you establish a favorable relationship with the person. You keep the person favorable to you. So, but they had exhausted everything they had in the household to feed them. So they said, well, you know, we consumed everything in the feast, and there's nothing left. We don't have anything to give you. Well, you invited me. You have to give dakshina. But we don't have anything. We just moved in, and whatever we had, we cooked. And, well, you have to give me dakshina. That's your problem. It's not my problem. So Parvati and Shiva conferred, and then they decided, the only thing we have is our house, so we'll give him our house. So they gave him their house, and they were back under the tree. So there's a lesson there also, that we get what we're destined to get. Of course, Shiva and Parvati, they're on a totally different level, but we shouldn't try. Yes, we work, we do our duty, but we shouldn't try to. We can't go beyond what we're destined to have. So instead of endeavoring so much for economic development and prosperity, whatever we're destined to get, it will come anyway. Just like miseries. Nobody tries for miseries, but they come automatically. Does anyone go to the temple or church or mosque? Dear Lord, please today send me some miseries. No. You don't have to pray for them. You don't have to try for them. They come. So in the same way, happiness also comes. Whatever is destined to us will come. And so instead of trying to artificially increase our happiness or decrease our misery, we should use our time to become Krishna conscious, to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, and that will make a permanent solution to all of our problems. And just like in the end, what happened? Lord Ramachandra, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, they all returned to Ayodhya, and they lived eternally in loving service to Lord Ram. So if we live our lives following in their footsteps, we can also live eternally with Lord Ram, or even better, with Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. But they're the same. But and what could be better than that? And if we try to compete with Ram and try to snatch Lakshmi for our own enjoyment, we will be destroyed, and everything we have will be destroyed. So we don't want to be Ravanas, do we? No. We don't want to be Ravanas. We want to be like Hanuman and rescue Sita and bring her back to Ram. Hare Krishna. So we have 2 minutes. Yes, Bhargava, a great sage, Bhargava, is in this assembly. Okay, project.
Loud, straightforward, handsome, brave, unmalicious, peaceful, and soft-spoken. Rama was always the first to greet visitors. He was pleased by the smallest kindness, forgiving of petty offenses. He was self-controlled. He consulted only with the pious and those who were superior to him in wisdom. His speech was sweet. He never lied. He avoided triviality. Rama was energetic, youthful, and a good judge of character. Master of the Vedic knowledge. Rama had never revealed other secrets. He was generous, but to be frugal if need be. He was hardworking, skilled in the arts, even-minded, never jealous or devious. Rama praised those of the diligent, punished the guilty, and protected the innocent. He gathered revenue wisely. Rama honored the Brahmin, who was compassionate, wise, and the execution of religious law.
Beautiful. When Krishna came, he came as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when he came as Rama, he came as the ideal human being. So we have much to learn about ideal behavior from Lord Rama. And that beautiful list of qualities that Bhargava Prabhu just read is something that we can all aspire to and work towards. So now we will rise for the beautiful Arati ceremony. Hare Krishna. Namaho.